wrestled with it this morning. If you ain't never, you know, ministered or anything, and you'll find out when God calls you. You just can't put messages together without it. Now you can bring scripture and study a subject and all of that stuff, but without the anointing, you know, you're it's just way better when He's leading you and getting putting it together for you. But you'll find if you're going to minister for the Lord, you're called to minister, you'll find there'll be times when he'll give it to you a month in advance. Then he'll give it to you 2 weeks in advance. And then sometimes he's going to give it to you when you get up that morning or that night. I mean, that's just, he's God. For whatever reason he does that, you know, I guess it has a lot to do with people going to the service. He tailor makes the services for, you know. So, I mean, if somebody's they ain't made their mind up and stuff, I guess when they make their mind up, I'm just speculating. But he has his own reasons for why he does. And I think, on my part, you know, I think a lot of times he does it to see if I'm going to trust him, if I'm going to have confidence in him, if I'm going to go forward and do without knowing. That's walking by faith, praise God. And how many knows you got to do that regardless, whether it's ministry or not? But you know, if you're in ministry, you need to be fasting for that ministry. Fasting for that ministry. I've seen miracles happen over fasting. You know, after I got born again, it seemed like a partial move of God on fasting, you know, at that church when I first started Faith Restoration over there. And so I kicked it off right off the bat on fasting. You know, I just kicked it off and started fasting for my marriage and found out you could fast for the nations and you could fast for different things in the Bible they fasted for. They fasted for tragedies. They fasted when war was breaking out. They got before the Lord fasting and praying to see what the Holy Spirit, even in the New Testament, fasting and praying to see what the Holy Spirit, who to appoint and all of that stuff. How many knows that fasting breaks strongholds? Fasting, number one, it humbles the man or the woman. You know, it's us bowing our heart to the Lord, you know, and denying the flesh its right to have its way. Another thing, we humble ourselves. How many knows the Bible says, humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due season. See, there's an exalting when we humble ourselves. Well, and to say, well, I just can't fast. I mean, I just can't fast. That's not humble. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Come on, somebody. To say I can't. You don't need to be confessing that and thinking that. You got to come from a place of victory, like he was talking about. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? God's chosen to fast. And he told them in the New Testament, he said, when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites. Let everybody know you're starving to death over there, you know, sad. All day long, sad. You know, whereby, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fasting for the Lord. I'm just fasting for the Lord. He said they have their reward. They did it to be seen. They did it to be seen of the people, of their position and all of that. But he said, if we'll fast, we do it in secret. We're not letting everybody know at work and all of that, that we're hungry and all of that. You know, he said, he that does it in secret, I will reward openly. And so there's open rewards that comes to those that fast, that'll fast, you know. And, I mean, I've had people to tell me I'll starve to death. And I'll be like, well, you got reserved. You know, you got some fat laid up. Now, you ain't even fat, but you got fat on your body somewhere. Let your body eat itself for a little while. It'll be good for it. Chew down some of that. Now, I'm being funny now. But fasting's good. It's good. I do it weekly. I fast weekly. Over there, the scribes, I mean, the Pharisees, they fasted Tuesdays and Thursdays every week. They did two. They fasted 2 days a week. Every week, they fasted. You know, fasting. They couldn't cast out demons and all of that over there. And they asked Jesus. They'd been doing it, and then they couldn't do it. And so they asked Jesus. They said, "Why couldn't we do it?" He said, "Because of your unbelief." He said, "This kind goeth out, but not by prayer and fasting." So fasting and prayer does away with unbelief. See, and I've heard preachers preach that and say, well, he was talking about that big demon. But that's not what he said. He didn't say, this demon's big, why you couldn't do it. He said, because of your unbelief. See, and you know, and so fasting gets rid of unbelief. Therefore, will give you, put you in the place of authority over demonic spirits that you already have. We already have power in that realm. But fasting is a self-discipline. I mean, it's something that we choose. Yeah, I preached on fasting one time, and this preacher got up and he said, "Well, I don't feel led to fast." I said, "Your flesh ain't gonna feel led never to fast." I said, "You don't have to be led to fast." I said, "You choose to fast. You choose." I said, Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you're led to fast. You know, well, the enemy just tripped, keeping him locked in that place. You know, I don't feel led. What if you ain't never led? What if you're so dull you can't be led? What if you're so out of tune with the Holy Spirit that you can't hear him saying, why don't you fast? Hallelujah. Fasting is good. Fasting breaks strongholds. I know that I fasted one time and for 3 days not drink any water. I don't recommend that at all. You will dry it like a prune, man. And it was in the summertime, July and August. But I'm fasting. Nobody told me to take you some water. I'm thinking, fast, man, you just don't eat. You don't drink. And but God, you just gonna stay before the Lord and I prayed in tongues more than I ever had. My lips got parched and cracked, and then there those dudes out there, they're laying blocked at this particular time I was fasting. And I was on the third day, and it was hot, tote sheetrock. My body had done got weak, but I felt like if I eat that I'd be defiling myself. That's the way I felt. I'd done been that long, you know. But I looked out there and they had left the water running in that 55-gallon barrel. And I looked down there and it was like gold. You would rather have that than gold. I mean, I felt like, man, I'll just dive out of here, poof, straight in there, and I'll just suck the whole 55-gallon. I mean, I was dry, Johnny. You know, well, I didn't know, you know. But you know what I believe it caused me to be? I believe that experience right there caused me to get it settled in my spirit, man, that I can do it. And so I've never really had, I mean, I've let a hot dog whip me before, have a thought, no, a hot dog would be good, and let it, you know, but primarily because I've disciplined myself and because you discipline yourself on a regular basis, it gets easier and easier to fast because you build a stronghold of that. How many knows there's good strongholds? I got a stronghold on the Lord. I got a stronghold in the Lord. I got some spiritual strongholds that I really like. One of them's faith. You know, I like faith. I like it. Faith is the victory. It overcomes the world. It's not just a church expression to me. Faith. Oh, yeah, we got faith. Well, you can't even get out of a wet paper bag. You need a Bible in that bag with you. I'm on somebody, you need faith in God in that bag. Like Teresa was talking about, you know, this morning she was talking about life-changing stuff for Christians that are, we're called to be in service, you know. And you might say, well, I'm not anointed for nothing. That's why. You believe that. The Bible says you are the anointed of the Lord, right? The Bible says you're called with a holy calling. The Bible says you've been given a ministry of reconciliation. That everybody, it don't say the fivefold ministry has been given that. The church has been given a ministry of reconciliation. You know, when I was going to church, I had such a desire to serve, you know, and I believe everybody that's after the Lord will have that. I believe that's something that comes from God, and I believe that everybody that pursues Him will have that. You know, they'll have that wanting to do for the Lord, wanting to serve. So I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm like, well, Bradley brings his pulpit down here. I didn't even ask. I just started. Man, I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm waiting on the queue, you know, I'm waiting on the tithes and offers. I'm like sitting there, and I'm like, I'm going to run up there and get it and bring it down there. So, I'm waiting. I'd have to hold myself back sometimes to let the service get in place, you know, because I'm ready to go serve. And so, quick as that basket, and they started back, I'd jump up and I'd run. I did that for several years. I'd go, and I'm serving. I mean, I'm not trying to be seen or nothing, and that felt good to me. That felt good to me to tote that pulpit off of that stage. And then I'm sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden, people would come up for prayer, and I'm sitting there, you know, and I thought, well, buck God, I'm going to go up there and get an agreement with Brad. You know, he's praying for them. I'm going to hear how he's praying, and I'm just going to get an agreement. See, I knew the scripture where it says one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, right? A power of agreement. You know, I'd learned about the power of agreement. So I'd go up there, and whatever he was saying, I'd say, yes, amen, in Jesus' name. Jesus. We've seen people healed. Seen people, what was I doing? Serving. You know, I was serving. But you know what I noticed later on? I noticed I didn't need as much prayer going on for me as I used to. I realized, man, I'm out there, you know, and I'm ready to cast out some devils out yonder, man. And then I'm ready to go back to church and tell all about it. I couldn't wait to get to church. Every week, I got a testimony. Every week. I mean in the mid-services. Midweek services. And I believe, number one, putting God first. And putting God first, fasting is putting Him first. I mean, it's saying, God, I want less of me and more of You. God, I mean, I fasted for my marriage. God, Teresa, she might halfway be saved, Lord. But God, she'll still stab me or something, you know. And so I would fast, and I'd fast for my marriage. Really, I wanted to bail out of my marriage. I thought I'm saved and I'm thinking good. Now I'm trying to serve the Lord and be a good guy, man, for society here. And she's trying to hold me back. I need to just divorce her. I'm trying to do ministry. And, you know, we were jealous, you know. Jealous people. But you know what? Instead of doing that, I went to fasting and praying and seeking the Lord and expecting when I got home that my marriage was going to be changing. And you know what? Over a period of time, I believe the fasting broke strongholds. I believe that it helped me spiritually to be more loving with her and more respectful to her and helped me to forget the past. I mean, the past still tries to come up to me and Teresa. It does. The things that we did to each other 30 years ago still tries to come up. It don't feel good. It makes you feel, and you know, but we might say something about it that it's trying to come up to us, but like we used to, boy, I'm telling you, you did that wrong. We don't give it no place. We're not going to give it place. There's nothing you or me can do about the past, but forget it. The Bible says, and fasting helps us forget things that are past. You know, I mean, here the Apostle Paul was he was Saul, and just imagine, God sent him to the ones that he was killing and tormenting and torturing. I mean, how do you think he might have felt? Going in there, some of them didn't even want around him. No, nah, he tried to kill us. You know, they knew his reputation. But now he's had this transformation like me and you. And he's the one that wrote to Timothy, He said, or Philippians, whichever, he said, forgetting those things behind. Forgetting those things behind, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, forget those things and press forward. Hallelujah. You know, another thing, you know, I believe that fasting will cause you not to be selfish. Causes me not to be self-centered. Fasting tunes us up with the Spirit, what the Spirit said, and our spirit man. I remember, you know, fasting for the street ministry. I fast for the jail ministry. And you know what? Out of 10 or 12 ministers that was going to the same jail, they cut the people cut them off and said, don't listen to none of them. That little bitty short guy, they didn't even know my name. That little bitty short guy that comes in here, he knows the truth. See, I didn't even know, they didn't know, I didn't even know none of the Bible yet. I'm hearing the sermons at my church, and I'm going and relaying the best of I can remember of the sermons, because they was good to me, so they thought I'd done been in it for 30 years. But it wasn't that. I had the truth. I had the Spirit of truth. And I'd seen those kinds of things happening in the jail. I mean, I won hundreds to Jesus in the jails in 3 years, Coleman County, City, and Blount County. You know, and I know it was God want me to do it, but you know, I had to fast and pray and put God first. And I mean, it took me getting off of work and going on Thursday night. I mean, I had to fight to go to the jail on Thursday night. I work all day long toting sheetrock. You know, most of the time toting lumber and sheetrock. But I knew it was the will of God. I knew God had opened that door up. And so it didn't make me no difference. I'm going to that jail. I never not missed one service. Not at the city. I didn't put it before church. I wouldn't put none of it before church. Church was number one in my heart, you know, of God's will for me and my family. It pans out. There sits my son, 30 years old, in church today. He got away from the Lord just a little bit and quit ministry here and all of that because I pulled him down because his heart wasn't in it. If I pull him down, then I've got to do whatever I've got to do to make sure that I take care of God's first here. It's nothing personal. And so he quits. And then it wasn't too long, you know, because I had raised him in the Lord, not just took him to church. There's a big difference in raising our kids in the Lord than just taking them to church. There's a life that they see whether we know God or not. By fasting and praying, I mean, Travis was raised, and you know what? It wasn't about 3 days he didn't come to church, and Bess, she's all upset, and with me and Teresa just ministered to her and said, hang in there and keep coming to church. Don't quit coming to church. You know, through that they were going through. And I thought to myself, well, if he backslides and stays out in the world, he's got hell to pay. The best road is serving Jesus. It's a hard road out there without him. And so, you know, about after the third service, I walked out the door and he's... Now I went begin to fast, and I begin to confess over him. No weapons formed against you. I didn't say, well, he's a man now. Let him make his own choices. He is a man, and he was making his own choices, but he needed help, and I knew it. And so I'm fasting for him. I'm fasting for his family and praying and rebuking Satan. See, and you know, I'm not just telling you my story. I mean, that's what we need to be doing as Christians. You know, and I went out there and walked out the door, and he's backed up over, and I just kind of act like I didn't see him. And so I'm walking off, and, hey, Dad. I looked over, and I said, yeah, son. Yes, son. Well, he had a change of heart. He changed his heart. He said he repented, blah, blah, blah. And here he is, our praise and worship leader today. And, you know, I mean, I contribute part of that. I mean, we can know the will of God kind of like this. My pastor The Lord told me to go up and let him pray for me one time. And I didn't really have no reason. I thought, why? People going to think that's something wrong with me. Ain't none of their business if they are ain't. See, that was pride. God was dealing with that pride. Who cares about what they think back there? I mean, I do, but you know what I'm saying. And so God said, go let him pray for you. God had a purpose. See, when we obey in the Lord, whatever it is, he's got a purpose for it. So I go up there, and I said, I don't really know, but God wants you to pray for me this morning or tonight. I said, I don't know. And so he just goes to praying for me. You know, and he prays in the spirit a little bit, and then I felt it. I felt something going, taking place, and then in just a few minutes, he stopped. And he said, Brother Scotty, he said, God's got things in store for you. He said, I don't see it. I don't know. He just told me to tell you that he's got things for you to do. He's got things in store for you. He said, but everything that you find out that God, what God wants you to do are conditional. He said, they're conditional. And I said, what does that mean? I don't know what conditional. He said, just because God has something for you, he said, it's going to be whether it happens or not up to you. Well, then I found out later on, you know, the jails wasn't easy to go to. After I worked all day long. It wasn't easy to go to church on Wednesday night after I worked from 5 o'clock in the morning and back-to-back loads of sheetrock and hot and fasting and body wore out. But when anyways? And do you know what? And empowered by the Lord as I went, and then couldn't go to bed after being that tired because of being in his presence, and we couldn't shut up talking about Jesus till 10:30 or 11 that night, and I got to be back in at 5. So I started seeing the grace of God on the will of God that gives you the ability if you go forward, if you stay on course, if you stay on track. See, God has no reason to release an anointing if we won't go, if we won't change, if we won't repent. See, pride, the Bible says pride goes before destruction. And great is the fall of it. Pride goes before destruction. A proud man, a proud woman, you know, destruction is in that path. But humble, the Bible says he gives grace to the humble. See, it's humbling when we tell God consciously and honestly, God, I don't have everything together, God. God, I don't really know what I'm, just like Teresa, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I can't tell you the next phase of how we're going to do whatever we're going to do. But I know him, and I will fast, and I will pray, and you should be fasting and praying and saying, God, what is your will? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to serve, God? Show me your will, God. Show me how to fix my marriage, God. Show me how to keep my mouth shut. God ain't going to put duct tape on your mouth. He's not going to send you a big, fat, heavenly roll of duct tape and tape you up and say, don't be saying that. Me and you have control of our words. Now, out of anger, we feel like we don't. You know, I mean, every one of us have to control anger. Now, some of y'all is just little teddy bear puppies, and you don't, but you got other issues, and we know it. We got to get back. Where's that? Y'all get quiet on that. Hallelujah. You got to control the anger issues. I mean, you know, and you know what pride does? Pride. I can be telling you something that is important to me, and you're thinking about what you're going to tell me back and ain't even took an interest in what I'm interested in. How many knows that's pride? That's selfishness. Selfish. And you know where I got that? I'm sitting in service, and I couldn't help it. I was doing it, Johnny. I mean, somebody would tell me something, I'd come back with something else to tell them. And the sermon would come forth, and I found out I was full of pride. It shot me right in the heart. I thought, yeah, man, I'm full of pride. I'm not tall enough to have that kind of I'm packed full of it, man. You know, so you know what I did? I left there and I thought, man, that's pride. And pride goes before destruction. He gives grace to the humble. I thought, Lord, I need your grace, Lord. And so you know what I did? Next time somebody told a story, I'm trying to think, come up with one. I never did it. I thought, I'm going to humble myself. I ain't got to tell nothing. I don't have to tell nobody my story. I was just in the presence of the people yesterday and was talking about where to take a hydraulic cylinder. And I asked the guy where he took his, and he told me where he took his, and I told him, that's where I take mine, you know. I said, that dude does a good job, and he's reasonable, blah, blah, blah. Well, this other dude come down, and he caught the tail end of the situation there, and he said, no, don't never take none up there. No, this is the best place on the planet, up in Gunnersville up there. I took one up there. I took two up there, and I mean, he didn't charge me but $30, and you don't have to wait. And that other guy said, I doubt that. He said, no, I'm telling you, when you get up there, you just tell them, and I called his, I didn't even call his name, not be listening. He'll know it anyway. He said, well, it needs to hear. And so anyways, he says, you tell them that I sent you. I said, so they're going to drop everything because you sent him. That's pride. He been up there three times. He ain't Donald Trump. Them people took him right on in because they sitting there on the chair. They ain't got more cylinders ahead of you. A good company ain't going to put you before somebody else. They're going to fix them other ones first, and then they'll get yours, a good company. So if they do that, that's not a good company, and I ain't using them. If I've got cylinders up there and I need my tractors going, and somebody they know goes up there ahead of me and they put him first, then that's not right. See what I'm saying? Pride. I thought, man, that's pride there, Lord. I tell you about my truck and you go telling me how much better yours is, that's pride. I don't know if Zach has any or not, but I pulled back my truck over beside him. I didn't try to check it out. I didn't test the spirit. I backed my truck over there. I was going to park around here, and I thought, nah, I'm just going to back up here. You know, let everybody up and park around there. Well, Zach comes across there, look like Elvis. Of course, in his latter years, getting a little heavy, Elvis was. You know? He kind of looked like Elvis strutting across there, going to his truck. He said, hey. He said, you're making my truck look small. And I thought, well, I don't know. So I walked around through there, and I thought, I wonder if that bothers him or is he just saying it? See, you just say stuff and not have nothing in your heart. You know, are you full of pride? See, he was just saying it. Hallelujah. But I was thinking, I wonder if that's pride, you know, if he's feeling, or, you know, the building. Now, we look good. This building is sharp. Some people, good God. If y'all stand there, I ain't going to tell you about it. But you know, I've had people ashamed to come to invite people to come to church here. You know what that is? Pride. They need to be took to Africa. I mean, where'd I go? Mexico. They need to be took to Mexico. They're not ashamed of them limbs they're standing under. They're not ashamed that they're muddy up to their ankles or a little deeper because they walked a half a day to get over here to preach. They're not ashamed of all that mud, you know. And so I have felt it before, you know, boy, if we had a nice building, we had a nice. How many knows God told me to use this building? How many knows that's pride to tell God that? God, but people have come to church. God will say, people ain't coming to church if I build a gold one. It's got nothing to do with that. I don't know why I'm on pride, so. If God is pointing out pride, you better get rid of it because work on it. I have to still work on it after 30 years. I mean, you know, it ain't like I just whip pride and you know, you don't, the people say, well, that's the best food over there. That's the best. To you it is. You might love Mexican food, but I don't. So it's the best to you. The best Mexican food's over yonder in Mexico where they're cooking it in the ground. And it takes them over a half a day. That's real Mexican food. And I would fly over there to get it nearly. That's some of the best food I ever eat in my life. Now, they may, I don't know what they ground up in it, but it was good. They don't even got, I ain't saying nothing. But you ain't eat all the food on the world. That's pride. I mean, you go driving a rusted down Volkswagen, and then God blesses you and moves you on up, and you drive in like you're worth $1 million. But you used to be humble. You was praising God for the rusted down Volkswagen. Pride. That's pride. You know, because the Lord showed me one time, he said, what you drive is not who you are. He said, what you live in is not who you are. You can't identify with that. See, I can give you an image of, I'm a big dog on my own business, boy, don't mess with me, I got, blah, blah, blah. That's stupid, that's prideful. I wouldn't have a business had it not been for God. I'd have went under a long time ago if God hadn't kept me healthy and give me wisdom and anointed me. Had some guys one time full of pride. Showed up one morning, and the Lord told me to go in at 5 o'clock at my own. I had them coming in at 5. One of them going to Tennessee to pick up doors, another going to Georgia to pick up doors. And so I told them to come in at 5 o'clock and give them the instructions and all of that. Well, the Lord told me to go in. I thought, man, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. So anyhow, I get up there at the shop right around the time they get there. And I just unlocked the shop, flipped the lights on, and they walked to the door, and their pupils was as big as their eye. And so I knew, they on drugs. So I said, what y'all doing? We're going to work. I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, what y'all doing? I said, your eyes are dilated, big, so big, your pupils gone. See, I used to do it. I mean, I know what it looks like. Well, that's how we've been getting you, making you rich. We've been doing that where we can put a lot of doors in. And now, I mean, we're doing this, and we made you. I said, what? I mean, that's pride. And God ain't going to have to get rid of it. I am. So I said, y'all boys, give me a phone. One of them, I ain't going to give it. I said, oh, you are going to give it. 911. I said, yes, I have two employees here. I'm at 261 Mountain Gap Road, and he's holding my telephone. I just fired both of them, and I'm fixing to take it away from him. But I'm going to give y'all just a little bit to get here. Thank you. I said, hand me that phone before I get mad, before the cops gets here. But God, he gave me the phone. I said, y'all are fired. Well, why am I telling you that? Because that was prideful. I gave you a job. I went and sold those doors. I went and talked to those customers. I went and put my credit on the line to buy them doors. I went and bought trucks to put you in that place to put them doors in. I bought the insurance. I pay y'all. I pay you. You ain't made me nothing. And I told him, I said, y'all are dumb. If you think you made me, I was here when you was in diaper. But see, I realized later, I wasn't really mad. I fired them. I wasn't really mad, but I realized how prideful that the world is. Those that are in the world, the world owes them everything. They're the best thing that ever works. Listen. I drove a truck, and I thought, ain't nobody as good as me. Look, God, he wouldn't fire me. He'd fire all the rest of them for he'd fire me. Look, God, I am the best truck driver they are. and got mad because of something. He let somebody drive my truck. This is after I got saved. And I'm mad. I'm like, that's my truck. So I went to Jack, and I said, that's my truck. He said, I bought that truck. He said, I bought that truck. He said, you don't got no title to that truck. He said, I own that truck. He said, I can let anybody drive that truck that I want to drive that truck. See, it was pride. And I left out of there more than I used to. I quit. I left out of there, and I wanted to go get in my truck and you know, do what I used to do. And I'm going out through there, and I'm mad, Johnny. I'm really mad because he confronted me with that, you know. And the Lord said, that's pride. He said, the humble gets the grace. He said, that's pride. And I thought, I got to get rid of that. And so, you know what? I went to Jack the next day, and I said, I'm sorry. You do own that truck. You really ticked me off when you said that.
Well, sugar, I didn't mean to make you mad.
I said, well, it's not you. I said the Lord showed me that I'm full of pride, and I got to get rid of it. So I'm starting right now. I said, you put me in that junky truck down there if you want to. I'll drive that wore out one that I've drove all these years. This was a brand new 96 Peterbilt with the air window. Air conditioned. We never had air conditioned down there. I mean, you just hit a button, that air slides it up. I played with it all the time. Pretty cool, man. So I told him, I said, you know what? Put me back down yonder. Put me back down. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll go back down there to that one. They have to pull me up the hill before I'm going to be full of pride and get cut off by you. I don't want cut off by you, Lord. I want grace. But you know what? I got to keep it. I got to keep that truck and everything else. He never did it again. I believe God did that. I believe God put him in that truck. Why? Because that was going to hinder the ministry. That was going to hinder my marriage. That was going to hinder everything. And you know what? It was going to hinder my spiritual growth. And so you know what? When I pulled in on the lot, hey, boys, I ain't always had credit. They wouldn't loan me $10 on a $100 weed eater. And I told God, I said, God, a good name is rather to be chosen. And I started working on a good name. And then when I got to the place, the good name, I drove in on that lot. Bless God, and I thought, I want that one. So I went in there, and I done figured it out. I'm not even going to the bank. I thought, I'm not going to the bank. And see, they going to do it. They going to do all this work. If they want to buy that truck, they can go to the bank. They call the bank, talk to the bank. I ain't talking to the bank. I'd never heard nobody do that, but I had that thought. So I walked in there, and I said, is that a good truck? Scotty, that's a good truck. I said, I want it. He said, well, let's go. I said, I'm not going to the bank. I said, you do it. I said, you want me to have that truck? I said, you call the bank. And you give them all the information. I ain't going to the bank. I just ain't even go. I didn't go to the bank. He did all that, and I thought, praise God, I've been doing all this work for nothing, man. They'll do it. Well, I figure, hey, garage doors, I'm going to see them. I'm going to the people's house. I'm going to measure them and all that. I ain't going to tell them, you know, go out there and measure it and do all that and send me pictures and make sure you get it right and all that and do nothing. I'm going. So I figure car lots work the same way. So anyhow, it's big, pretty Dodge. Two-tone, red and gray. I was the only one in my family that had a Ram. I was the only one at that time that had a Dodge. And so I'm going across that lot, and I thought, whew, I'm a businessman. They're going to know I'm a businessman. I had these thoughts. I went, uh-oh. I pulled off. Turned around. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I just thank you right now, Lord. I said, this truck's trying to make me be prideful right now, Lord. I said, it's trying to get me to make people think I'm something I'm not. And Lord, I thank you right now for the power, to the ability to be who I am no matter what I drive. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for you bringing me to the place. What was I doing? I was making sure that I kept that pride down. I don't need people knowing that I'm up on top. I don't have to have that. I don't care. What, see, when you're humble before the Lord, all of that stuff really don't matter to you. Got me a brick house. Well, they live in a house trailer. God's blessed me with a brick house. That's all you got. You ain't got no favor. Why? Pride. Instead of that, whoo, man, we believe God. Boy, we knew God was going to do it, but God, and we believed for it. See, there's a way to say stuff with a right heart that'll bring glory to God. And just like with the truck and stuff like that, I did it every time. So if y'all think that your vehicle, you know, is making you something, then you're identifying with it and you're not identifying with God. That vehicle don't make you nothing. When it blows up on the side of the road, there went your identification. There went who you was. Now we see who you are broke down. When it gets 285,000 miles on it, and it's blowing smoke out the back, and you ain't got no favor to get another one, put you a bumper sticker on her and say, "This came from Jesus." Told you I didn't have a sermon, but I'm going by in here. So pride goes before destruction, you know. And you know, I'm around people all the time. They know everything. You ever met them people? They know everything. I don't care. You can bring up a monkey wrench and theirs is better. You can bring up a pipe wrench and they've had one and it's the best. You know that? I mean, and they know everything. You can say something. Say something about your car or something, they know exactly what it is. Then you go do it and it don't work. Then you go back and tell them, you didn't do it right. I mean, that's pride. That is absolutely pride. Had a guy one time in the jail, he's talking about, mixed marriages, you know. His girlfriend was Hispanic or something. And people down there, people back, I mean, it's more now, people don't bother people now. Like, you know, 25 years ago, the people that's full of pride and arrogance, like they're superior, us white folk, or us Hispanic folk, or the Indians. We was over here when the arrows was being created in the ground. Yeah, well, where'd the ground come from? God. Well, I went in there, and I'd been raised kind of racist, you know. And so I go in. How many knows that's pride to be racist? To be racist? Aubrey didn't know anything about color till that stupid school, did it? Well, sorry, I didn't mean to call it a stupid school, Lord. That teaching them racism. Makes me mad. Really upsets me. Then he ain't going there, and he said, well, they said, you know, the Bible says not to mix races. I said, I don't know about that, man. I said, my family says it. I said, and everybody I know says it. They says it's not godly. I said, but I don't have a biblical answer for you. I said, you know what? I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, buddy. I said, I like studying that Bible anyways. I said, I don't know what the answer to your question is. Now, I could have said, yeah, God ain't into that at all, boy. I mean, if you don't know, don't say, but God ain't, unless you know. That's pride. That's pride and arrogance. That's know-it-all. So I go to that Bible, and I find out in there's one place in the whole Bible that he told them not to mix tribes. One place in the whole Bible that he told them not to mix tribes. And it's because they were serving God, and that tribe that they were wanting, those women wasn't. And he said, don't mix tribe because they'll take your heart from me. And so then I found out that Moses married an Ethiopian woman. You ever seen an Ethiopian woman? Really dark, complected women and men. And so I found I didn't know. I didn't even want the answer. I'm like, man, I got to go tell him, marry her. God's okay with it. If you found the will of God and y'all love each other and you believe it's God, I don't. And so I thought, man, it's trouble, though. It's trouble. So I go in there and I tell him, I said, man, God's okay with it. I said, I was shocked. He said, you was? I said, yeah, I thought of you. I said, everybody I know says it's in the Bible, you shouldn't mix races. I said, but it ain't in the Bible. I said, God's okay with it. I said, now everybody needs to find the will of God, you know, and make sure it's the will of God for them, just in general, and then do it like that, you know. And I told him, I said, I really wasn't wanting that answer. I said, I'm having to change, man. I said, I've given my heart to Jesus. I said, and I was a racist and didn't really know it till I got saved and got redeemed. I said, you know, by the blood of Jesus. I said, now, you know, God's okay with people I'm not. He's okay with people I'm not, man. See, but pride will make you feel you're better than somebody. You know, pride causes you to feel, you know, I mean, I've seen good Christians and get nice homes. They was humble when they had rags. And then they get nice homes and then they can't hang with the church no more. They're better than the church. Oh, God's just blessing me and blessing us. And they're talking a little different. Blessing us. No, you can't get in our pool. You let hygiene off. Man, you used to get in the river with us, man. They stink in the river. We went to the bathroom in there, man. Downstream, you was downstream. You didn't know it. It was nasty. We ain't coming out of the river. There ain't no bathrooms on the river, man. We just have to drop our drawers and let her rip. Well, what else you gonna do? You ain't got no toilet paper, nothing. Y'all ain't never went to the river very often. You didn't do it, but we did. This is the cleanest river in Locust Fork. It was till we got here. Now you got saved and you're so saved you can't swim with us no more. Come on, man. We made it. Hallelujah. I've been to the river a few times. So, you know, I mean, I want to encourage you, you know, what's that pride stuff? Do some fasting. Do some pray. Life is grand. Life is joyful. Now, the things we face here in life and trouble, I mean, I've been busy for 2.5 days. I'm done with that. It ain't been a fun 2.5 days. It's just kept me for some things, you know. But I endured it. Now that I come out, and I, you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, do some fasting. Do some praying. Don't get down spiritually low where church is not exciting to you, where listening to preaching is not. I go home a lot of times and I'll turn on some preaching and while we're going to sleep in the living room after church. You know, I mean, if you stay up spiritually, you know, you're going to want church. You're going to want the streets. You're going to want food ministry. You're going to want these times when I'm not as up spiritually like I ought to be, that it's just everything I can do to get in that box truck and go get that load of groceries. But when I'm up spiritually and fasting and praying, I'm like, whoo, I go get it any time. Then when I'm down spiritually, I dread the DOT up there. Then when I'm up in faith, I'm like, this is your truck and your problem. Gone. You get in trouble, God, you're paying it. Like God, if I get a ticket in your truck, this is your problem, not mine. Hallelujah. And go on. You don't dread the DOT. You're kind of coming out and through there. I hope they're there. We're out to test this faith out today. Whoop. I used to call my brothers, DOT down there, man. I don't know. Could you drive down there and look? That's what I told him, Johnny. I said, man, just drive down to the store. Don't you need a Coke? Man, I'm going to go around the other way. If they're down there, I ain't got nothing to hide. You ain't overloaded or nothing. I just don't like pulling on them scales, stopping me. I'm in a hurry. But, you know, I just want to encourage you. Do some fasting. I believe God's speaking it to fast. And seek the Lord and pray. I believe he's speaking it, praise God. And I believe if you'll listen to what the Lord is saying today, I believe it'll change you. I believe that You know, that's being a doer of the word that we hear, praise God. And you know what? Watch that pride thing. Watch it. Just watch out for it. I mean, I still have to do it after all of these years. It's not like you kill it one time and it's gone. I mean, pride just tries to slip in on us and tries to come in, you know, and take a little bit here and a little bit there. But we can humble ourselves. We can stay humble. And we can. It don't have to ever work on us if we're aware of what's going on, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. We praise you. And we